Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. One of the enemy's favorite strategies is to try to control our thought life by establishing strongholds in how we think and what we think about. The enemy has many allies in this strategy of his, and I'm not just talking about his demon horde. Many assist this demonic house. Well, I mean, that's the only way to say it. Many assist this demonic assault against our thought process unwittingly and unaware. In our daily lives, we're besieged by the thoughts from every direction. Most of them negative, and some of them actually just cunningly sinful. A number of studies point out that the average American is exposed over 3,000 advertising messages a day. That's right, 3,000. This includes radio, TV, internet, billboards, or any other medium that provides or promotes a product, a cause, or a lifestyle. Assuming that you sleep 8 hours a day, that means that during the other 16 hours a day, you're exposed over 3.5 advertising messages every minute of the day. During the year, this would amount to 1,095 advertising messages. By the way, it's 1,095,000. I'm sorry, I may have said that wrong. By the way, it grieves me to say that seldom is there an intelligent commercial. Most of them are geared to the base, the vain, the stupid, the perverse, the sexual, and the greedy side of human nature. Now, a stronghold is literally a house made of thoughts.
Luke 11, verses 21 and 22 in the Classic Amplified Bible. When the strong man, fully armed from his courtyard, guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed, his property is at peace and is secure. But when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied and divides up and distributes all of his goods as plunder, spoil.
Before we were saved, we were the undisputed possessions of the devil, who was a strong man guarding our souls. When we got saved, someone stronger, Jesus, attacked and overpowered the enemy and stripped him of his power over us by taking away his armor. I believe the armor in this case consists of our own thoughts, attitudes, and opinions, which are in agreement, frankly, with the evil one. What Jesus described as armor, the Apostle Paul identified his strongholds.
2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds.
Now, it's important to understand that our born-again experience did not eliminate all the strongholds erected in our lives. Yes, old things are passed away and new things are come. But until we are walking in the fullness of Christ with a renewed mind and way of thinking, we have to know the process is not complete. The strongholds that affect us strongholds that affect us most are those hidden in our thinking patterns, which we don't identify them as evil, or else we haven't done the spiritual homework necessary to tear them down. There should not be any self-condemnation because of being a Christian. Well, it hasn't made us perfect. It's not unusual to find Christians who are dealing with one of the following strongholds: unbelief, pride, unforgiveness, lust, greed, a lack of real love, or a combination of these or others that I may not have listed. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The essence of who we are is reflected by our thought life. What we feed mentally grows. What we starve mentally dies. We've got to take control of our thought processes and recognize it when a negative thought or anything else exalts itself above the knowledge of God and tries to illegally enter the premises of our mind. Don't allow any unwanted house guest in your mind. And certainly don't allow them to stay long enough to entertain them in any way. The scripture says we have the mind of Christ, but there's some things in our brain, our mental filing cabinet, our hard drive, the hard drive of our mind, that frankly Jesus would have nothing to do with. There are many believers hearing these words who are facing difficult, if not seemingly impossible, financial circumstances or situations. If you have a call on your life, and frankly everybody does, then you can't expect the devil to lay down and play dead. Indeed, the Lord has equipped each of us with everything we need to defeat him. But here's the question. Do we trust God enough to work his word? As I've said continually, worrying about money, never paid a bill, put a penny back in your checking account, got you another job, saved a family member. Worrying didn't do any of that. In fact, worrying has the opposite effect. It prolongs our financial mess because we're giving place to negative thoughts. Worst case scenario, imaginations and thinking that produce fear instead of faith. If you've been laid off from your job, don't gather and commiserate with other folks who've experienced a similar fate. You will just begin to rehearse your hurt, and every time you repeat the story, you refresh and relive the disappointment and get angry all over again about what happened to you. You ever known a prisoner of war? I've had the honor of getting to know some brave men who were taken captive by the enemy, endured being a prisoner of war. These men will tell you that the enemy creates an environment for brainwashing. The enemy tries to break down your resistance by feeding you a consistent diet of hopelessness and fear. The enemy controls the interrogation process with just one objective: break the captive's will to live, so they will abandon their sense of right and wrong. The devil would like nothing better than to make you captive, a mental prisoner of war. He tries to create an atmosphere of panic and uncertainty. Then he'll bring negative thoughts into your mind, trying to make you think you have no way of escape. He wants to replace your fear with faith, your determination with doubt. He wants to replace your faith with fear, your determination with doubt, your past with his future for you. The enemy's objective is to build barriers, create strongholds to prevent you from achieving your divine destiny. Here are three keys to tearing down strongholds.
The first key is fighting the good fight of faith, of waging effective warfare, of tearing down strongholds, following his directions. That's the way to do it. We follow the instructions, and then we follow the words of 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 in the classic Amplified Bible. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The second key is fighting the good fight of faith. Faith is not invisible. Most people think faith is invisible, but it can't be. And right here it says in Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice that the thing hoped for is invisible, but faith is the evidence that makes it real. There's no such thing as invisible evidence. You can't go in a courtroom and win a case with invisible evidence. The thing hoped for may be invisible, but if we have faith for a new house, more money, whatever it is, say the new house may be invisible right now, but your faith won't be invisible. If the faith was invisible, the house would never show up. We're fighting the good fight of that which is visible. How do we make that which is seemingly invisible visible? We've got to see it in our spirit. In other words, see it, believe it, confess it, expect it, never give up on it, and we will manifest it. One other thing, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, this time in the Amplified Bible translation, it says, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses. The verse says, for which you confessed the good confession of faith before many witnesses. The key to winning your good fight of faith is your confession, which makes what's invisible visible to you. So to be winners in life, we have to follow the first two keys, fighting the good fight of faith, following instructions, and faith.
The third key is fighting to win. Fighting to win, to finish what you've been fighting for. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Never give in, nor give way to negative or sinful thoughts. The mental and spiritual resolve necessary will allow you not only to fight the good fight, but tear down every stronghold the enemy's tried to erect in your mind. And make no mistake about it, that's exactly what he wants to do. Exactly what he wants to do. He wants to alter your thought processes from the pure, the powerful, and the positive in the Word of God to unbelief, fear, pride, unforgiveness, lust, greed, a lack of real love, or combination of those. By changing your mental thought processes, it allows him the foothold he needs to build a stronghold in our lives. We must stop it. We must take captive every thought that would, well, it would exalt itself above the knowledge of God. That's what we need to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. While you're there, if you've been blessed by the teaching, click on the button that says Sow a Seed. Just do what God tells you to do. Or you can mail it to Post Office Box 900,000, Fort Worth, Texas 76161. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.